And turn with me, if you will, to the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, number 3. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 309 of your pew Bibles. We have been walking through these Psalms for a few weeks now, and as we continue now with Psalm number 3, we hear David pour out his heart before the Lord. Psalm number 3, verse 1. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. A faithful deliverer, a faithful deliverer. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. Amen. Our text today was written in the context of a man engaged in warfare. In the annals of war history, the great African general Hannibal fought some mighty battles against ancient Rome. In fact, Hannibal had the city of Rome surrounded and under siege for 12 years. But he did not have enough soldiers to go in and finish them off, so he sent for his brother to come with his army to help him conquer Rome and deliver the victory. But his brother was killed before he could make it to Hannibal. So Hannibal had to retreat, and Rome eventually won the war. When you're waiting on deliverance, your deliverer must be reliable. When you go to war, you need to have certain pieces of information at your disposal. Will those who promise to come to my aid be there when I need them? Will they be there? In this psalm, David reflects upon the troubles that he has encountered in battling his enemies. Seem to be multiplying, and at this point in his life, David's own son is his chief enemy. The thought of all those who are against him seems at first to discourage David, but then he reflects on who he has on his side. He has the Lord God Almighty. David had a special relationship with God, and David was never afraid to call on God. And that turned out to be David's strength throughout his life. When he faced a challenge, when he was in danger, when he was distressed, when he was under attack, David did not hesitate to call on God. There is a lesson in David's life for all of us, especially the church. We need to learn how to call on God instead of going into despair. We need to call on God instead of seeking help from the ungodly. We need to call on God and trust him to deliver us. When you get into the habit of calling on God in faith, you'll quickly discover that God is a faithful deliverer. God is a faithful deliverer. When you wait on God, you'll discover that God is a faithful deliverer. But waiting on God is not easy. It's not easy. We're used to being let down by human deliverers. But God is faithful. And there is a measure of faithfulness that God requires of us as we wait on him. God expects him. God has some expectations of us as we wait on him to deliver us. What are those expectations? Well, the answer is in the text. So let's turn to this text to discover what God's expectations are of his faithful people. Beginning again at verse 1, it says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. God will deliver us when we resist evil with faith. When we resist evil with faith. And we need faith because opposition will come. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly will face persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. And opposition will come from surprising sources. David found himself in the position of having to go to war against his own son in order to try to regain his kingdom. Absalom, his son, had wooed the hearts of the people away from David. And many of the same people who had been David's friends and advisors sided with Absalom against David. And opposition will come sometime in surprising strength. David moaned, "How many are my foes? Look at the great number of folks who are against me." See, Absalom was a good politician. And he stood at the gates of the city and told everyone going in and coming out that if he were king, he would solve all their problems, everything that they wanted, just like a politicians still do today. Everything would be solved if they just make him king. And the Bible tells that Absalom declared himself king and marched on Jerusalem against his father, and all the young men of Israel followed him. So David took the palace guard and fled from the city, and that's when he wrote this song. Verse 2 says, "Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him." Opposition may even come as an attack on your faith. David found that those who opposed him no longer feared his relationship with God. A lot had transpired in David's life since he had stepped out on God's word and defeated the Philistine giant Goliath. David had fought and won many great battles, but he also had a great defeat. He had lost a battle with sin and lust and ended up committing adultery and murder to cover it up. So perhaps that is why those who went against him concluded that God had left him years ago because of his great sin. But they did not understand the mercy that God has for those who repent. They had not read that great prayer of repentance that David prayed to God in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 9, David says, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." And David rejoiced when he discovered that God had forgiven him. He said in Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." We need to stay with God during times of opposition and trouble. Satan will try to use others to discourage us and to diminish our walk with God. But we must press on. Don't let the devil discourage you. And he knows all the tricks on how to do it. Look at what David was up against. First, the fact that his own son would conspire against him and attack him. And second, the fact that most of the people of Israel would join with Absalom after he had been their king for so many years. And thirdly, that they would even attack his walk with God. They considered him a castaway by God, and they no longer considered him one of God's anointed servants. Despite all of this, David knew of the faithfulness of his God. He knew that God was still with him and that God would deliver him. David knew that. We need to have a faith that God will deliver us even when we can't see how it's going to happen. And that's what faith is all about. Faith is your confidence in things that you cannot see, and yet you feel that you can almost reach out and touch them. That's what faith is. The things you hope for have substance because you have placed your faith in them in God, and that God will perform it. The Bible tells in Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You don't have to reach out and touch something. You don't have to be able to see something. If you put your faith in God, you know that it's real. And God wants us to have faith when you cannot see what's going on. God wants to have faith that he will deliver us in ways that we haven't figured out. God will deliver us when we resist evil with faith. But there's more that God expects. God wants us to stop worrying about the numbers that stacked up against us. Look at verse 3. David said, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me." God will deliver us when we rely on him alone. When we rely on him alone. And we can trust God because in God there is safety. In God there is safety. David was testifying of what he knew about God. David, no doubt, began to remember how the Lord had kept him safe in so many situations over the years, and he has had to speak out and praise God. He remembered in his youth when God miraculously saved him from bears and lions as he tended sheep. And then all of Israel remembered how God allowed David to defeat Goliath. And then he had all those battles against the Philistines. And then David remembered when he was on the run once before when Saul was king, his own father-in-law, was trying to kill him. Throughout all of this, God had protected him, and David remembered all this, and David had to testify, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me." We can trust God because in God there is sufficiency. God has enough to supply all of our needs. And David found peace in the knowledge that God had anointed him and made him king, and that the same God was able to restore him to the kingdom that he had given him before. He knew God was sufficient. And that's why he said, "You, O Lord, are my glory." He gloried in being in the presence of God. As long as he could feel God's presence, David knew that everything was going to work out all right. That's why he called God the one who lifts up my head. God had a way of encouraging him even while he was being pursued by his enemies. He was encouraged by God, and God lifted up his head and gave him encouragement. That's why he said, "You, O Lord, are my shield. You are my glory. You are the one who lifts up my head." David had faith in the sufficiency of God. And then we can trust God because in God there is security. David also had faith in the security of God. He said, "I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me." Because he knew that God had heard him, David could lay down and sleep as peacefully in a tent out in the wilderness as he did in the palace in Jerusalem. Even though he was being hunted down by his enemies, David had faith in the security that came from God. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus sent his disciples out into the Sea of Galilee all alone one night as he stayed on shore and sent the multitudes home after he had fed 5,000 people. And since the disciples were already out to sea when he had finished doing what he had to do, he walked out on the water to get to them. And when they saw Jesus walking in the fog on the water, they were terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost, and they cried out in terror. And Jesus called back to them, "Don't be afraid, it's me." But Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, if that's really you, then call me and let me come out there with you." And Jesus said, "Well, come on." And Peter got out of the boat and started walking on water on the word of the Lord. And he was doing all right. As long as he was looking at the Lord and walking towards Jesus, he was doing all right. But then he looked around and saw where he was and got terrified. And as soon as the fear took over, he started to sink. And then he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out and grabbed him and carried him on into the boat with him. And then he asked Peter, "Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" He was all right as long as he was walking and looking on Jesus. He was doing the impossible. But when he started to figure it out, "How am I doing this?" he started to sink. When in the storms of life we find ourselves tossing and tilting, we need to call out to the Lord as Peter did. But as the Lord starts to lead us across these troubled waters, through the wind and the waves, don't do like Peter did. Don't take your eyes off the Lord and start to worry about your situation. Don't do that. Just keep focus on the Lord. And he'll keep doing the impossible with you and through you. You just need to say to the Lord as David did, "Oh Lord, you are my shield and my glory." And the Lord will lift up your head. You can trust God to deliver you when you rely on him alone. On him alone. When you trust in God alone, you have the assurance of knowing that you are not alone. Let me say that again. When you trust in God alone, you have the assurance of knowing that you are not alone. And when you trust in God alone, the numbers are on your side, no matter how many are against you. Paul asked the question that we say from this pulpit time and time again. If God is for us, who can be against us? What does it matter who's against us? And look at what David said in verse 6. David said, "I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around." God will deliver us when we replace fear with faith. God will deliver us when we replace fear with faith. And we can trust God because in God there is victory. In God there's victory. David's faith was being strengthened with each word that he spoke. Now he has done away with the fear of the multitude that he was concerned with when he first began in the beginning of this psalm. He realized that God alone is a majority. God alone is the majority. David had realized that in God there is victory, and that's why he said, I will not fear 10,000 who have drawn up against me on every side. We need to come to the revelation that David discovered. Once you turn it over to the Lord, the battle is his, not yours. And the Lord has already secured the victory. All we have to do is walk faithfully with him as he leads us to that victory that he's already secured. Satan will try to deceive all of us with illusions of failure and defeat. But don't give in to him. Just keep walking with the Lord to the victory. Satan will try to turn you around even as God is trying to walk you to victory. Don't let him turn you around. God wants you to win. God has prepared for you to win. Just walk with him expectantly, and he'll lead you to the victory. Satan has spread so much discouragement that many folks, even Christians, expect defeat. They go into things expecting to be defeated. I don't do that. I expect victory because my God is able. My God is able. And the victory comes not on my terms, but on the Lord's terms. God seldom brings me what I want when I want it. But he always brings me what I need right on time. We can trust God to deliver us when we replace fear with faith. As the songwriter says, if I had never had a problem, I would have never known that my God could solve it. So God's going to give you problems just to show you that he can solve it. When we replace fear with faith, we will know what David knew. When trouble comes, we need to run to God in prayer. Run to God in prayer. Listen to what David says as he seeks God's help in verse 7. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. God will deliver us when we run to him in prayer. We can trust God because in God there is power. Once David realized that the battle was the Lord, once he realized where his strength was, he just called on the power. He says, arise, O Lord, deliver me. Oh, my God, strike all my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth out of the wicked. We can trust God because in God there is peace. David realized that once you turn it over to the Lord, the battle is over and the peace begins. Once you turn over to God, your blessings can begin. Therefore, he said, from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessings be to your people. We can trust God to deliver us when we come to him in prayer and praise. Because that's all that God requires. Come to him in prayer and in praise. Trust God. He will deliver you when opposition has you surrounded and you don't know which way to turn. Trust God. He will deliver you when you rely on him alone. Trust God. He will deliver you when you replace fear with faith. Trust God. He will deliver you when you come to him in prayer and praise. When you trust God, you will find that he is a faithful deliverer. He's a faithful deliverer. If you trust him, you'll find that God is a faithful deliverer because there is safety in God. He will shield you from the arrows of the devil. God is a faithful deliverer. There is sufficiency in God. He's an ever-present help in a time of trouble. God is a faithful deliverer. There is security in God. You can find rest for your souls when you just trust in God. God is a faithful deliverer because there is victory in God. If God is for you, who can be against you? God is a faithful deliverer because there is power in God. He can make your enemies your footstool. God is a faithful deliverer because there is peace in God. If a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. God is a faithful deliverer. That is not the question. That's not in question. The question is, do you want to be delivered? Do you want God to take over your battles and give you the victory? If so, you just need to run to him in prayer. You need to run to him in prayer. At this time, I would ask the congregation to stand. As the choir comes, it's prayer time right now in the church. In just a moment, I'm going to give an altar call. But right now, it's time for us to open our hearts to the Lord. You may already be saved, but somehow you don't feel the presence of God as close as you once did or as close as you would like. You can fix that today. Open your heart to God right now and ask him to be your deliverer. may have a burden that's troubling you. Whatever it is, ask God to deliver you. And then trust like David that God has already heard your prayer. Some here may know that God is delivering them right now. Your prayer is that God will continue to deliver you day by day, moment by moment. Others here just want to thank God for the deliverance that he has already provided for you all your life. Thanksgiving is your prayer. And as we begin to pray in just a moment, speak to the Lord from your heart. Ask him to take over that rough spot in your life, whatever it may be. Whatever has been troubling you and burdening you, take it to the Lord. Give it to him. Leave it with him. Trust him. He already knows about it. He's waiting for you to call on him.